We are on Daf. It really is Nidhi Gemara tonight. A lot of Agadata. Let's start from Lamed Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom. The last two words. Just now, don't stop. Start in the middle of an issue. Rav Amar Rav said, "Here, a city, Shehi Benuya Olim, which is built of tents. Kol Echav Echam Moed Moldi Molo. You don't get to go from the outermost tent in the city. You have to go from each tent 2,000 amos, because it's not going to be a city. If there were three shacks in the entire city of tents, Ushlosha Burganin. Oh, it's much quieter here tonight. Ushlosha Burganin, or three huts. I feel I don't have to shout. Ushlosha Burganin, three huts. Modin Minachito. To be used this afternoon when I saw a Spanish guys playing football during the second Seder. That was the beginning. Modin Minachito. They look good.
How would he know?
By yeshiva standards. So you measure from the that's what I've heard. Yes. Moli minachitza. You measure from the outermost house, outermost tent. In other words, once scattered throughout the city, there are three semi-permanent, they're permanent shacks or huts. Then you don't have to go from each tent individually. You go from the outermost tent in the tent city. Now it says more mind-boggling questions. It's really amazing. It says more Rebbechia. I'm sorry. Heitzim Rebbeasi. Rebbeasi said, if that is the case, V'aksiv, it says, you should have an outhouse outside the tent, outside the camp, where you would go to attend to your needs. Hechayu nifnim lachutz. How would Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar go to the bathroom on Shabbos outside the camp? What was their whole camp made out of? Tents, right? So for each family only got 2,000 amos from the opening of its tent. The camp was 12 meal by 12 meal, right? Which means 12 times 2,000 by 12 times 2,000. So the people who are further in the camp, they couldn't go outside the camp in order to go defecate. They were stuck inside the camp. How'd they fulfill this pasuk?
So they were allowed 12 meal, not 2,000.
So the first assumption the Sham is making is that what? They kept the Rabbanans.
Right.
That's the first
one. There were no Rabbanan yet.
What?
There were no Rabbanan yet.
Wait. Just you wait. Just wait and see.
But I thought that he would be mentioned.
What? Yes. First.
And I thought they didn't have needs for the bathroom when they were in the Midbar.
That's only from the Mon. But they ate anything else they did. They ate the sheep or the
quail.
Yeah, the quail they had, sure. So says the Gemara, and furthermore, another kasha. Rabbi Chia b'Rei Rav Shabsai, Makshe, yes, Hechi Yetzu the Beis Medrash Shoshe Moshe. The Beis Medrash Moshe after the Chet Ego was 2,000 amos outside the camp. Says that Moshe took the end of Parashas Kisisa, he took the OOL and put it distant from the camp. How did they get out there? They only didn't have 2,000 amos from the edge of the camp. They only each had 2,000 amos from their houses. So maybe you'll say on Shabbos they didn't go learn. But if they did want to go learn, how could they go learn, right? So says the Gemara, I love this answer. It said, Moshe Oslem Shlosha Tzrifin Ushlosha Burganin. Every Shabbos, Moshe makes sure, all right, guys, here we are. Make sure we have, it's almost like a 19th century Rome. Let's make sure we got the huts. Or we got the shacks in order to be yotzei this Shabbos that we can all be able to measure from the last tent in the camp. Okay, so therefore, in Echonami, part of Moshe Rabbeinu's duties as the Rav of Klal Yisrael was to put up the huts or the shacks in order to make sure they could measure 2,000 amos for the outer perimeter, not from each tent. Okay, the shack outline, right? So says the Gemara. Another answer, Amar Rabbi Yisr said, wait, Mikame Shuchayv Naisimal Pia Dibur, since they would only, the camp and travel when God told them to, it's a typo here, Kamisha Yuchayv La'ilam. Then each time they camped, it was forever. In other words, tents are not permanent because you can constantly uproot them. But these tents were not constantly uprooted. Yeah, we had this in Masechta Shabbos many times. Yeah, so from here, each year we see, Amar Rabbi Yisr, Beir Aibun, no, Mikame Shiftichah Kosh Baruch Hu Shumachlitz La'aretz. since Hashem promised to marry Israel, no matter where they went, Kamil Shul Shah, it was always considered temporary. That's why, of course, we have learned Masechet Shabbos many times. Yerushalmi Shita is that a Malacha doesn't have to be Miskayemis on Shabbos, because the Mishkan was not Miskayim. Why is it not Miskayim? Because even though it was the certain place of Kaddish for 19 years on end, but nonetheless, since their intent was to move to Eretz Yisrael as soon as Hashem let them, so therefore it was always considered to be temporary. So here too, the tents were definitely temporary tents, since the tents are definitely temporary tents, so therefore Am Yisrael was always in a state of temporary sojourning, and therefore in order to get 2,000 houses to the outside of their tents, they had to have those three huts or three shacks every Shabbos.
We still are in a state of temporary sojourning.
This is our heter to stay in Chutzlaretz because we always intend to go to Eretz Yisrael. All right. So Olei Amar Rabbi Avin. Concerning this, Rabbi Avin said, Moshe Salem Shloshet Tzrif and Shloshet Borgani. Moshe made for them three tents or three shacks. Okay. So because it's problem, it was always temporary. So that's why he made for them these structures. Am Rabbi Yisrael. Rabbi Yisrael said, He may not deal Chavinis Aruchos if he doesn't know which. What? Oops, sorry. Merabu ribu olam. Now, when you make actually the Bavli ended up not passing in this way, but say the Ushami seems to argue in the Bavli in this, that when you square off a city, you square off in the directions of the world. In other words, the square which you make is north, south, east, west. Okay. The way we came on the Bavli, you make it in the most convenient square possible, no matter what the directions. Right. In other words, if you have a city which has jagged edges, so you square it off in the easiest way and most compact way to make a square. I should say most compact. But the Yerushalmi holds, you square it off like the square of the world, that you have sides on the north, south, east, and west. Okay?
There's a diagram in the parish
style. Right, right. The square of the world. Shami says explicitly, world. Shami also says explicitly, the world is round. But what it means is the directions of the world. Okay, that's nothing to do with the shape of the globe.
The corner of a square faces north or west or south.
Not a corner, a side. It's not a diamond.
It's not a diamond.
It's a square.
I had a picture of a diamond.
Yeah, no, it's not a diamond. The diamond is the way the Bavli has it.
Yeah.
Not the way the Shami has it. Okay. Its west should be towards the west of the world, and its south to the south of the world. Rabbi Yisrael said, now, if you don't know which way is north and which way is south, which way is east and which way is west, so let me give you an easy way of figuring out. This is quite a hard way. None of us could ever use it, but nonetheless, the Gemara gives it here. Say umami na kufa. Go out and observe the sun throughout the seasons. On a place where the sun rises on the first day of the summer season, which is when? June 21st, which is the summer equinox. Summer solstice, excuse me.
Equinox
is March 21st, right?
And September,
right. So on the summer, do you get turned off by astronomy too? Right? On the summer solstice, the sun rises due east. Okay? Due east. From that time, until the first day of winter, which is December 21st. But those 6 months it rises in the east, right? Elu pnei Mizrach. Mimogam shachama shokas be'echad b'tkufas teves, from the place where the sun sets on the first day of winter, on December 21st, and welcome Shishukas Be'echum Tukufas Tamas to the place where it sets on the first day of summer, which is June 21st, Elu Pnei Amarov. That's the west. Now, in other words, the sun is as we know, although we've never observed this because we don't watch, but the sun actually rises and sets in different places across the horizon throughout the year.
It's north or south.
Right. Okay. And they actually, believe it or not, people actually used to look up at the sky and notice these things. Right?
I notice those things.
You notice these things? Wow. It must have to do with being an eye doctor. So the...
Astronomy.
So that actually, the sun is setting in what they call an easterly direction, the entire, from the beginning of summer till the beginning of winter, and it's setting in a westerly direction from the beginning of winter till the beginning of summer. Okay? The rest of the time, the rest of the time it's setting either to north or to south to be called properly east or west, and that's how you can tell where the north or where the south is. Okay, so when it goes out of the range of the 6 months on either side, then you know it's either north or south, not east or west. Okay, relatively speaking. Of course, everything is relative to your perspective, right? If you're further, if you're a higher latitude, as we are, then these things are not as dramatic as when you are at a lower latitude like they were. But those are the concepts which are involved. Okay? Says Gemara, Hado Dixiv. The angle of attack of the Earth is so sure. The African tribes, well, last time I was in the planetarium, I went to hear the program they showed, indicated that even the African tribes who set up their stone, like Stonehenge, they set up their stone positions very, very precisely to coordinate with where the sun would rise and set overhead at each period, each different period of the year. So they really, that's how they knew what day of the year it was. So they really were very precise in that, those observations. Why do I have to have this on tape? Just for the rest of our listeners, I have never seen the movie. Okay. All right.
He's looking for the lost ark, but not for the movie.
Speaking of the lost ark, we're going to have it in a few minutes. Says him up. That's how it says. Holech el dorom, the sun goes to the south. Vesolia itself and comes around to the north. Holech el dorom b'yom, it comes down. It sets towards the south in the day. I don't know which season we're talking about. Holech el dorom b'yom, it sets towards the south in the day. Vesolia itself and light rises towards the north in the night. So I guess we're talking about in the winter, I think. Winter to rise more northerly. So, no. And the summer rises more northerly. Summer rises more northerly because summer it's warmer. It's our so it's in the northern hemisphere. That's what it means. I think it rises in the north in the summer. Yeah, because that's why I know it's pretty clear to me that's the case, because that's why, since the sun rises in the north, it's rising in a more northerly direction. That's why it never really sets fully in the northern latitudes. Because it's always just over the horizon on the top of the world if it's not there the other way. Right. Right. Okay? Even in England, it never gets fully dark in the summer. England. France, England, it never gets fully dark.
No, about 10:30.
The sun never goes 16.1 degrees beneath the horizon, which is the shear of darkness according to Rabbeinu Tam. It never gets Rabbeinu Tam dark in England in three or four weeks. No, that's why. That's where the source. I'm convinced that's where the illogical minog, which we have to wait 72 minutes on the clock, comes from. Because if you go that far north, then there's no difference between 72 minutes and 120 minutes and 2 hours. Because the sun never goes that far beneath the horizon in the middle of the summer. Right, because it's constantly not that far beneath the horizon.
So, when you were in London,
I didn't notice. I don't look up at the sky. I'm not the. Besides, you can't tell in a big city because it's never fully dark. You have to really go out into the countryside in order to notice that. No. But there are places where it doesn't even get Balatania dark. Which is the minimum shear of darkness.
Chaim Goldswife was once in Finland in the middle of the summer.
Not sure, yeah. All right.
Just pull the shades down.
Yeah. All right. Says more further. Boy, you really try to get stuff on the tape tonight. Everybody's too lighthearted here today. Says go out further. The wind goes around and around and comes back to its place. Elu pnei mizrach u'marav. This is the east and the west, and this has to do with the winds, and I'm not familiar with that, and we really don't need to know. Yeah, we really don't need to. I don't know how it works over Israel, but we're really not concerned with that. In our Gemara, it's not. No, so we're just going to. Yeah. It is a lot of fun if you understand it. It does. I enjoy the sugya of Bein Hashemoshes very much. I can understand it. Okay, says Gemara. We're really off on a tangent here, so basically in the Gemara, but we're going to continue on this tangent. Nicho b'shilo beis olamim. I understand how you can tell which way is east in Shilo and in the beis olamim, meaning when you were in the Mishkan and when you were in the beis hamikdash. The Ma Rabbi Yachav b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, the Baruch the name of Shmuel bar Yitzchak. Kama yogu neviim arishonim. How much do the neviim toil? The older neviim, meaning at the time when they put up the second base of Mitzvah, way back at the beginning, lasso Shaim Yisraeli to make the eastern gate. Now, the eastern gate is not the Shaar Rachamim. Shaar Rachamim is on the east, right? The closed-up double gate. No, that's late anyway, but it's not. My point is, we're not talking about the outer gate. We're talking about the gate of Shaar Nicanor, the gate which went between the Ezra's Noshim and between the Ezra's Yisrael. And that gate was in the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't the outer gate. The outer gate, which is led out of the Arabite, is called Shaar Shushan. Okay, the gate, that's what it was called in the second Beis HaMikdash, because it had a map of Shushan carved into it. That was because of Kovan Malchus of the Persians. So so this is an inner gate. Shaar Nicanor was precisely towards the east. So when the sun rose, it would shine through it. On the first day of winter and the first day of summer. So they made it precise that when the sun rose on those days, it would rise and shine through that gate. Okay? Shiva Shemus Nikulo. And this gate was called seven names. We're going to mention them and then we're going to explain all of them. Shar Sur, Shar Ayesod, Shar Charisis, Shar Isun, Shar Hatovech, Shar Chodosh, Shar Elyon, and now we're going to explain that. Shar Sur, Shishama Yutzmein Porshim, they are the people who are telling me who leave the Beis HaMikdash. They leave through Shar Nicanor. Shar Nicanor, yeah. Although they see Suru Tomei, that's how it says, leave those who are Tomei. Kiru Suru Tomei Kiru Loma, call out to them to leave that way. Now, I'm not sure if the Bavli agrees with that. I seem to remember Maseches Tomit that there was another gate for which they left. There was this... People came to Aminah Zohar Kohen, who came in contact with the Sheretz, came in contact with the... Something was Tomit. It was waiting out. Yeah. Shar HaYisod, Shishom Yom Yasis Halacha, there they would base the Halacha, because the Sanhedrin was adjacent to Shar Nicanor. Right when you walked in, that's where the Sanhedrin was. Shar Charisis, Shumichaving Negus Rikas Hashem, it was opposite the rising sun. Hey, Mat Omer, like you say, how do we know that the sun is called Cheres? Omer the Cheres, well, Israel, it says in Eof, God tells the sun not to rise. Shar Yisun, what does Yisun mean? Yisun in Aramaic means to come and to go. Specifically to come, as we have in. Let me give you a test, a seasonal test. Where does it appear, that word appear in Chazar Sashat in Musaf of Yamin Aroim? A variation on that word? Rabbanan. V'yasoyu kol avdecha. V'yasoyu means everybody will come to worship you. So that's the same word, shara isun. V'yasoyu. Okay, so that's, that means where you come to, where you come. So here, shara isun means people come through that gate, because that was the main gate into the part into the base. Into the inner reaches of the base hamikdash. Shara hatovech, the middle gate. Shumusabich Nesharim, it's between two gates, because there's an outer gate, the gate of the Harabais, and then there's an inner gate, the gate which goes into the Ulam, right into the Echol, into the sanctuary. So this is the gate in the middle. Shara Chodosh, Shasham Chichu Service Alocha, there they made up new Alochas, right? Because that was where the Sanhedrin sat. Shara Elyon, the upper gate, Shulamala, and the next word is a typo. It's not Ezra's Yisrael. Ezra's Yisrael was in fact higher within the gate, but rather it's the Machane Yisrael, the Harabais. Machane Yisrael is a term for the. Even that's not precise, because really it's Machane Leviyah. Right. Right. How many steps are there up to Shar Nikonor? From the Ezra's Noshim? 50. Corresponding to that? 15 Shira Malos. Right. Okay? That's where they would stand and sing the Shira Malos. What? No, that's. Didn't we discuss this morning?
Yes, that's why.
No, it's called Ezra's Noshim because that's where the women would stand during the Simchas Beis Shoeva. What? The Levim would stand there stationary and sing it. Shar Elyon Shulamala me Ezra, me Machnis, or whatever it is, means Arabais. Hachel, the surrounding area of the. There was a fence around the actual Azorah. Vezas Hanoshim is outlined there, Ezra's Noshim as well. Right? Then Mali Yisrael Sobeis Olamim. The Beis Hamikdash, there's an additional step between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Kohanim. As you approach the Mizbeach, you went up an additional step to get to the actual Mizbeach. Now, says the Gemara, Uvamidbar, that was all in the Beis, that's all the Beis Hamikdash on Yushalayim. They knew which ways were north, south, east, and west. But now, in the Midbar, when they had to set out the camp, who would tell them which way was north, which way was south, which way was east, which way was west? Why was that a problem? What? So what? Why can they look at the sun? Why can they tell by the sun? Come on, guys. Why can they tell by the sun? Exact opposite. Exact opposite of what you just said. He said too bright. Anone Akovo. They couldn't see the sun. Jay Moshe says that. What?
No, it certainly won't. What?
Cecil means. He obviously did not learn Yerushalmi.
Yeah.
Okay. But not Yerushalmi. I have to redo it. So, because the Anone Yaakov in the middle, they weren't able to see. When they traveled, the Anone Yaakov were not. No, they also were overhead. I don't know if they saw the sun all 40 years. I don't know. So says the Gemara, Hado dichsiv v'nosu akosim noisei mikdash. So I'll tell you, the kohasim who carried the mikdash, zeha oron, the oron, v'kiyum neim roriyas ha-mishkan ha-boam, and the people, they were preceded by the family of Merari, which put out the Mishkan before they got there. So the Levim were endowed with the Oral, which indicated to them when they set it down, it oriented itself. So it endowed them with the knowledge of what was north, which was south, which is east, which is west. Okay. Ketzad.
That
was the ultimate UV blocker. Right. Okay. Ketzad Yisrael Ma'achiv HaMidbar. How would they walk in the desert? Now this Rishon is actually brought down by Rashi and Chumash. Okay. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yisrael Chadamar Ketev, once said they walked like a box. Mean the same way they camp, that's the way they walk. So they walk like a log, meaning they used to reform themselves into a straight line.
12 lines?
I guess, not 12 lines, I guess. I don't know. No, they just do tribe after tribe after tribe. Instead of being spread out, tribe in a row.
Like a chain.
Yeah, like a chain. Okay, so...
One
long chain, yeah. Not single file, but approximately, tribe. Okay?
But
it was 16 amos wide, because Rosh Hashanah arrived.
But in the Yam Suf, they were actually 12.
That's one medrash, yeah. All right. But the question is how they passed here, the rest of the time. So it says, Mada Marketeva, he says that they travel like a box. Says as they camp, so they travel. Mind Markori says they travel like a beam. Massive Chomachosivosim, it says that Shevet Dan was the catch-all for all the groups. So meaning Shevet Dan expanded to fill the entire area of the rear of the camp. And if it was walking like a box, Shevet Dan should not have been large enough to do that, right? So it says, Mind Markori. Maybe what Rishon says later in a moment. He says they walk like a beam. What does he do with the Keteva? With the posture to indicate that they walk like a box? So he says, no, it's a different drasha. Just like when they camp based on God's say so. So when they traveled, up Adibor. It's not talking about how they traveled in physical form, but rather how they traveled based on divine command. Just like God gave the command to stop, God gave them the command to go. He who says they travel like a box, what does he do with the post which indicates that they walk like a beam, which says that Shevet Dan used to be the catch-all at the end of the tent, at the end of the camp. No, he says Shevet Dan had a lot of people, so therefore they talk, even if they extended like a box, Shevet Dan could arrange themselves to cover the entire back of the tent, and in fact the back of the camp as it traveled, and they would collect all the lost items and return them to the rest of Am Yisrael. Okay? It says here, every time you lost something, they returned it, although they gathered everything for the rest of the camp. Okay? That was the end of that Agada, so getting back to Erev Tchumen. Tanim Shem Rabbi Yehuda. We learned the name Rav Yehuda. Avzi zeu ksolem noyim dim dodim imo. Whenever you measure the city, and to find its outer perimeter, you measure whatever extension it has and whatever outer walls it has. They all come into count the city, even though there's no immediate dwelling in that vicinity. Boy Rav Yeshua, av yechotzer maushim darimo noyim. Interesting question. If you measure Erev Tchumen, the tchum from a house, do you start from the house, you start from the wall of its garden. It has a garden in front of it, a courtyard. Start from the wall of the house or from the wall of the courtyard to measure 2,000 amos. Right? says, well, let's try and bring a proof. Nishmina min ado, let's bring a proof here. By shnivat miruach echad, a house which one wall fell down. Nim darima, so it's counted with it, meaning that it extends the city in that direction. Still considered to be a house. Shtei mishtei ruchos, if two of its walls have been knocked down, Ein darima doesn't extend the city. It's not considered to be a dwelling anymore. It's a ruin. It's not a dwelling. A Rabbi Avim, Shem Rabbi, that said, Shanit lo karasa, that's only if it doesn't have a roof. Karasa doesn't here mean the beam, like it normally means, which threw me off for a few moments when I started preparing. Rather, it means the tikra, the roof. So if it has no roof, Avim lo nito karasa, if it has a roof, despite the fact that it has, it's missing two walls, Nim darimoim, it's still considered to be part and parts of the city. Says the Gemara, "In shenit lo karasa lo kavir chotzeru." If it doesn't have a roof, if it's roofless, it's like, isn't it not like a chotzer? It's not like a courtyard. And we see that as long as it has at least three of its four walls, so it counts to extend the tchum. So it means whenever you measure tchum, you measure as long as it's a fully enclosed courtyard. You would measure from the outside of the courtyard, not from the house to which the courtyard is adjacent. Even Achsadra had a roof, it just didn't have a lot. It was missing a roof in the middle. It had like a side, you know. It's like a. Yeah, that's something on the side. It's not completely roofless. So it says, or somehow it depends on two types of Achsadra. Some have no walls and have a ceiling, like a shelter. And the others have pillars on the side and have awnings over, and just are very open in the middle. So it says, so no, it's not necessarily proof. Tam and Hukov le Beis Dira, because there was once a house. Since it once was considered literally enclosed as a house. So therefore, you can, even now that it's somewhat destroyed, you can include it as being a house and extend your Eruv from, your Tchum from it. However, Hachol le Hukov le Dira, hereby a Chotzer was never considered to be part and part, never a house, and therefore perhaps you don't measure from the outer wall of the Chotzer, but rather from the wall of the house itself. Anyway, when you measure, you don't measure from the middle. It's a nice picture of it here in order to clarify the issue. When you measure the 2,000 amos, you don't measure 2,000 amos from the middle. From the middle means from the corner. Because you measure from the corner, 2,000 amos, actually over here, you're going to have much less. He has a small print here, what exactly it is. 1,428. Okay, because here, the 2,000 amos on the angle, so then you lose over here. So don't measure from the emtsa, meaning from the middle over here. Rather, measure elamina chronos. No, I'm just going to change the gear, so I don't understand. I really didn't notice it when I thought it, but it's much easier if we do. Kshumoded lo yamoded mina kronos, mivneshu mavsid ela mina emtsoi. I'm sure somebody must change it, but I don't see. They don't change it. I don't know why not. They should. Because what it means is, don't measure from the middle, don't measure from the corner, but rather measure from the middle. And then on the corner you get much more, and the corner you actually get 2,800 amos. Why does he have 2,200? It's more. Does he have 3,200? What does it say there? He had 2,800. Yeah, it's a typo. You get 2,800. So it's a mistake. So even what it means is you should measure not from the corner, but rather from the middle. So if it was up to me, I see neither the Korban Eidah or Bnei Moshe do change the girsa. But I would much rather read it, Kshumode lo yamoded mina kronos, Mivnei Shumafsi. Don't measure from the corners. Elamim Tsoi, but rather from the middle. Okay? So I don't know why it doesn't change it, but that's basically what it means. Okay, on we go. No, Aloha base. Nosim Karpov Leir. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says, as we mentioned earlier, whenever you measure outside a city, you automatically give it 2070 and 2/3. It's not 2,000 precisely, it's 2,072 thirds. Chomer Amrim lo amru karpa karpaf el ben shnei ayoros. Your karpa, you don't gonna give every city a karpaf on its own. Every city on its own is 2,000 amas. That's it, no more. You only give a karpaf between two cities. And what does that mean? If you have one city adjacent to another city within 70 2/3 amas of the other city, so you consider them all one city. So karpaf specifically between two cities, not for each city independently in and of its own. Okay? Imesh ben zu shivim amos shrayim zu. Oh, well, the first opinion holds that each one gets. But in fact, chachamim ein lom b'karpa l'shem shen sheyos yesh b'zu shivim amos shrayim u'zu shivim amos shrayim asei karpa v'lishteim liyosah kachas. Give each one 72 thirds, put them together, so as long as there's 1 or 41 or less between the two of them, they're all considered to be one. And so too, if you have three villages which form a formation. Now, there are two versions of this. One he drew and the other he didn't. One way of drawing the formation is the form of a tripod. That's like picture number Mem Hey. But it's possible, as the Gemara will point out, to put all three in a row also. Okay? Between the two outer ones, there's 141 and a third. Asoim tzay shlosh li azecha. Then they're all linked. There's a contradiction to what we just learned, because here we learned before, Chachomim said between two cities you give each one a karpaf, but here Chachomim is saying between two cities you give a karpaf per two. You see that? Because Chachomim just said in the middle of the Mishnah that when you have two cities, as long as there's less than 141 between the two of them, that's okay, because it gives each of the two cities a karpa. A single city doesn't get a karpa. Two cities, each one gets a karpa. But at the end, the Mishnah says two cities, you only get one karpa between the two of them. And that's why you need three cities in a row. And between each one of the three cities, there's only 72 thirds amos. So in reality, there are three opinions around Mishnah. Rameir gives a single city a karpa. Chachomim will give two cities a karpaf, and they give each of the cities a karpaf. And the last chacham you hold that when you have two cities, you give a karpaf, but only one karpaf between each of the cities, between each two of the cities. Okay, Rav Chuna is the word missing here. B'shem Rav's name, Rav said, Ramei Rabbanu Mikra Echad Darshan. Ramei Rabbanu argue both Darshan the same pasuk. Ramei Darshan says Mikira Ir. When you give measure karpefos, you measure from, it's talking about by near miklot, but it's the same parameters, 2,000 amos, from the wall of the city. So it says to the wall of the city, measure 2,000 amos. Matam lomar vechutza. Why say from the word and outside? It's excess verbiage. Mikach noisi karpefliar. So the vechutza says there may means you have each city besides its chum also a chutze. What's the chutzah? The chutzah is 72 thirds amos, right? Rabbanin darshin, the exact opposite. The chutzah matam it says the chutzah matam lor mikira here says you give a chutzah. So why did it say from the wall of the city? Elo mikan. From here he learns the typo here. She ain't no stink karpaf liyer. That there's sometimes when you go from the wall itself. Sometimes you give a chutzah, but sometimes you go from the wall itself. When do you give a chutzah, say Rabbanan? When it's adjacent to another city. When do you go from the wall itself? When the city stands on its own. Right. Which we don't have. So it's machta. That's true. Okay, granted. Hadam Rasha Ein, it should be She'ein, no Sikarpli, it teaches you don't give a carpet in the city. Rabbi Yaakov bar Achon, Rabbi Avuna, Rabbi Nochum, Shem Shmuel bar Abba said Salkis mas Nisa. Now the way most the Mishnah is learned, the way most of the Mepharshim learn Salkis mas Nisa means remove the Mishnah. The way Lieberman learns it, it means one Mishnah ends and another Mishnah begins. And I really explained that to you when I explained the Mishnah. Because I noted to you that the Chachamim in the middle of the Mishnah do not jibe with the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah. Chachamim in the middle of the Mishnah indicate that each of the two cities gets a karpa. Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah indicate that only between the two cities you give only one karpa per two. And that's what the Mishnah, that's what he's saying. Salkus mas nisin. Don't think it's one long continuous Mishnah that's the same Chachamim. No, there's one Mishnah which stops right before Rechein Shlosha Kfarim. And there's another Mishnah which begins, which really goes back to Rabbi Meir. Well, it's not clear exactly who the third Tana is, but the third Tana is not the second Tana, because the second Tana gives each of the cities a karpa, and the third Tana does not. Okay? So Salkus, again, according to Levi Mishpat, means one Mishnah ended and another Mishnah began. Okay? Says more further. Let's analyze that last part of the Mishnah. Shmuel Amar Basui Shura, as I mentioned before, Shmuel says that they're made in a row. Now, what? No, it's none of these pictures. None of these pictures are all in a row. Shmuel Amar Basui Shura, Bar Kapor Amar Basui Tzuva. Tzuva is like the Hebrew Chatzuva. They were Israeli, they were Sephardim, so they dropped the Ches. Chatzuva, right? So they pronounce, there is a Gemara, it says in the Brachos, in Bavli, says that the B'nai Galil or B'nai Chaifa, they used to drop their Cheses. They weren't able to pronounce the Ches. So very often you find that, I'm not very often, but you find in Yerushalmi, very often they drop letters. But Haidine Beemtza. So, which one is in the middle? Haidine Beemtza, which is the middle one? In other words, if you have a tripod, then anything can be in the middle, right? This could be the middle. The way he drew it, this is the middle one. What? Depends how you look at it, right? It's a chatzu, because the Mishnah mentioned, Asoyam Tzoy Yeshloshan Liozechon. The middle one makes them all three connected, which is the middle one, right? Look at it in either direction. He has that in Memvav, you see? Instead of making the middle one the one on the bottom, he made the middle one the one on the top right, just by redrawing the lines, right? So I don't even say. Nicham Adam Arbasi Shura. If they're made, I understand going to be in that they're in a row. Ha'anu Em Tzoy. There's one which is the middle one. But he who said it's like a tzuva tripod, Haidani Em Tzoy, which is the middle one. On Rav Shmuel Achoid Rav Brechia, he said, In Timshech Minahu Minahain, I always get mixed up when you have a phrase like this. In Timshech Minahain, Hanu Em Tzoy. In Tishach Me'ahein, Hanu Em Tzoy. You're right, there is no middle one. If you measure from this one, let me see if I can read that better. In Tishach Me'ahein, if you measure from this one, Hanu Em Tzoy, this one is the middle one. In Tishach Me'ahein, if you measure this one, Hanu Em Tzoy, you're right, there's no middle one. Who says the middle one? We're going to make it work relatively well if each one is the middle one in turn, right? Rabbi Yaakov Bar Achon, Rabbi, that's what Mishnah meant. Em Tzoy meant everyone can be the middle one for the other two. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Achon, Rabbi Yosef Sharem Bichanina said, Uvach lo yeh Em Tzoy muflug Yosef Me'apayim Mamos. This is something we had in the Bavli as well. In the Bavli we said, this is Mamash like Memhei. QQC Yaakov? It's in Memhei. The city itself, the middle city, is, as the crow flies, less than 72-thirds from the city adjacent to it, if you drew an imaginary line. But it's distant from the other two, right? So the Yerushalmi is saying it can be distant from the other two, but it can't be more than 2,000 amas away. If it's more than 2,000 amas away, so it's not logical to say connect. It's outside the tchum of those two cities. How can it possibly connect the two of them, right? So therefore, albeit as the crow flies to the imaginary line, everything is fine and dandy. There's an additional concept, which is that the city has to be less than 2,000 amos away, physically, in real line, from one city to the other city. Okay, is that clear? Yeah? Says the Gemara, Yosa said, Kashise Kami Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. As for Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, Tanino, we learned, Imesh Mishnechi Tzoyim Mev Arboim Vachas Ushlish, Asim Tzoyim Shlish Loshon Laat Yishnechi Tzoyim. That, in this case, if there's less than 140 and a third, meaning between each city in the hypothetical line, there's only less than 72 thirds, then he unites them. Fine. Hayim Shnayim Bam Tzoy Mal Shodan Lekanakan. But what if it's there's double the amount? Shnayim here means 2 times 2. Like picture Mem Zayin. See picture Mem Zayin? How many cities are there? 5 cities. So can I use the middle one twice? I'm really not sure I understand the Havmin and why not. The Mepharshim trying to explain it, but I don't really understand it. So it says, Yerushalmi, Ma Tzrichola, what's your question? Now I'm going to change the Girsa, although you can read with the way Girsa works here, but the Gilyan Ephraim, which Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings down, changes the Girsa. Lieberman leaves it intact, but I like the way Reb Chaim Kanievsky changed it. It says, Ma Tzrichola, what are we asking the question? Kshia Echon Mahalich. The same guy wants to walk in all directions, right? Instead of 2 people. Same guy, so for him it's a tarti de sasre. For him it's like a paradox. He's using the same city in 2 different conventions, 2 different scenarios. But if 2 people were walking separately, Nino Lekarakan, then obviously the middle city can be used on both directions. If only each guy's walking separately, if the same guy's walking all directions, then in that case we have a problem. All right, boys, I knew it would go fast, but I didn't know it would go this fast.
That's with all the jokes.
What?
That's with all the jokes.
That's with all the jokes this evening, yeah. Shall we wing it for a few minutes? All right. Ein moedidim el b'chevel shel chamishim amos. You only measure with, this is the Bavli, right? When they used to measure with a rope of 50 amos. Now, that means they used to make 40 segments of 50 amos. Right? They used to use a 50-amah rope to measure. Lo pachas lo yeser. No more, no less. Because if you use a shorter rope, you're going to be much too lenient, right? Because you're going to have far more gaps, much more inexactness. And if you have a longer rope, you're going to be too exact, much more stringent. Remember, we mentioned a few Mishnahs ago that they were off by up to 15 amos, right? And it was quasi-intentional to make sure people would have some leeway. So we want you to be a little bit off, not exact. So therefore, we make this compromise of 50 amos string. Everybody measures opposite their heart. Each of the 2 people who hold the rope holds opposite their heart. And when they were measuring, they reached a valley or a fence. So they absorb it and they return to their midah. As long as they don't go outside the tchum. Mavliya means they'd go around it. They go around it to find a place where there was no fence or was no gully and go across there, right? But they couldn't go more than 2,000 amos away from where they were, because that's exaggerated. They had to go somewhere within 2,000 amos of this fence or this trench in the ground. They found somewhere else where they could cross and then start measuring there, and then come back and pick up from where they left off. Imena yochol lavli, what if they can't do that? Because it's too large a trench or a valley. B'zuah ma'ariv d'stoy b'rabi yonei, b'shem Rabbi Meir, I heard in the name of Rabbi Meir, shemekajim b'harim, we drill through the mountains. Now, what does it mean, we drill through the mountains? So what it means is that if there are 2 of us and we're going up a hill, let's say this is the hill, right? So I stand here and you stand here. I put the rope opposite my feet and you put the rope opposite your head. And that way we eliminate the angle in our measure, right? We're not measuring the angle any longer, which would be a chumrah, because then the slope would shorten the tchum as the crow flies, because the tchum would be going up and down. Rather, we make it exactly as the crow flies, as much as we can, by making the string straight. How do we make the string straight? Again, you hold it as low down as you can, the person up here, and he holds the person down, he holds it as high up as he can, and that way it goes as straight across as possible. And that's called mekadrin. That's called drilling the mountains, because it means is we eliminate the slope. Okay? Kamu midas ha-tchum. What's the meaning of the tchum, says Gemara? Arboim chavalim. 40 ropes. Now, I don't know what the chiddush is. But the chiddush is 40 times 50 equals 2,000. Okay? Says the Gemara, lo pachos. It shouldn't be a smaller string, a shorter string. Mibne shu nimtach. Because, he gives a different reason here than what I said before, which is taka. I forgot what the reason is. Because if it's a shorter rope, they can stretch it. They pull it taughter, right? When it's a lighter rope, they can pull it taughter, and therefore it's going to be a kula actually, because they're going to extend it too far. Lo yeser, not too long, not long in 50 amas, because the opposite, because they won't be able to pull it taughter at all, because it's so heavy, right? Shunikmaz, it contracts, and therefore to be too stringent, umafsid, and you're going to lose. So again, lo pachos shunitach v'nizkar, it's going to usually pull too taut, he's going to gain an advantage, and not less because it contracts and he's going to lose. Is tani tani moided b'chevel shel pishton. There's some who say use the rope made out of flax, of linen. Is tani tani b'chevel shel shalosh lach. Should be shalshelis. Shalshelis. According to the carbon ada, which means a metal chain.
Braided, like a braided chain?
A made metal chain. At least they know. In the Bible, there's always a rope.
Maybe 10 yards.
What?
In the football game, they measure the yardage.
The metal chain? I guess they learned the Yerushalmi. Let's see if it brings down some of your...
Maybe it's a braided metal chain?
Maybe, I don't know. But Shalshela certainly means a chain, if that's... Yeah. We
and
do change it.
Like a Havdalah candle or something. Braided
chain. Yeah, it's supposed to be Shalshela's. So I guess it's a metal chain. Of East Tani Tani, and the Zimu Baisu says, Bechevel Shalar Ba'amos, with a 4-amo rope, which is, of course, not like our Mishnah, it's much shorter. Okay, I think that's as far as we'll get without me preparing. So we'll stop here for this evening.